Well, tonight we're going to talk about the mirror. We all have mirrors in our homes, don't we? You know, the mirror is really a tremendously valuable tool. It allows us to see things that we otherwise would not be able to see. In fact, we may not even know what we look like if we didn't have a mirror. And some of you may be thinking, well, I'm going to go home and throw mine away. We all have them in our homes. They help us to dress and see ourselves as we really are and help us to make improvements to ourselves. We have them in our cars. They help us to see what is behind us, and sometimes we need to know what is behind us and not just in front of us. They help us to avoid accidents. Basically, the interesting thing about a mirror is the fact that it doesn't lie. It always tells you exactly what it sees. Now, I know, you know, we watch a lot of the magicians on TV, and they'll use the sleight of hand, and sometimes they will use mirrors to create an illusion to make you think you're seeing something when you're really not. Well, that mirror is showing you that illusion, and that you're seeing what the mirror is showing you. Mirrors do not lie in any way, shape, form, or fashion. It reflects exactly what it sees. Most of us remember the story of Snow White and the evil queen who would ask her mirror, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? And usually the mirror would tell her that it was her. But on one occasion we know that the mirror told her the truth, that it was not her. And we know the story that the wicked queen went into an absolute rage because her mirror was honest. But that's the way mirrors are. Mirrors are honest. They tell exactly what they see. You know, we are told that the Bible is God's mirror for us, and that is so true. The Bible reflects to us God's will as it has been revealed to us. And by using God's mirror or the Bible, we can learn of our own character spiritually, and we can learn of our needs for our soul, because the Bible tells us exactly what we need as a child of God. It tells us exactly what we need to do to become a child of God. In other words, it enables us to see ourselves spiritually the way we really are. Now, I dare say sometimes the Bible reflects in its mirror some things that we really don't want to see. We don't like it when the Bible tells us that there is something wrong with us. We don't like it when the Bible tells us that there is something that we need to change within ourselves so that we can conform to God's Word. But that's what it's for. And that's what we need to use it for, to use to help us change ourselves to conform to God's Word. Now, what I want to do tonight, I want us to do two things. First of all, I want us to talk about the function of God's mirror. And then second of all, I want us to talk about the proper way that we need to use God's mirror. First of all, let's talk about the function of this mirror. The mirror actually does several things for us. Number one, it reveals the origin of the soul. Now we can go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And we read here, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul." Now, the atheist would tell you that all this means is that man is alive just like Rover the dog and Fifi the cat, that he is no more than a dog or a cat or any other animal that roams on the earth. Now, it is true that man is a living being like the animal world and any animal in the animal world. But there is a difference between man and beast. Simply having life on earth is not all there is to man as it is with the animal world. Listen to something Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Paul said, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now, what Paul is referring to in the outward man, of course, is the physical man. And everybody in this room, no matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, know of physical changes that take place in the body as we go through our lives together. I have found aches and pains that I didn't have 20, 30 years ago. I have found out that there are things that I cannot do near as well as I could 20 or 30 years ago because of the bodily changes, the physical changes that have taken place within me. But then Paul says the inward man. So there's two types of man. There's the outward man, there's the inward man, and the inward man can be renewed day by day. That's the spirituality of man that can be renewed. The fact is that it was the spiritual part of man that was created in the image of God. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, beginning with verse 26, when God created man, it said that, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Now, this creation that God made in Genesis chapter 1 here is two creations, the physical man, the spiritual man. The spiritual man is the part of us that was created in the image of God. God is a spirit. Jesus tells us this, and we read many scriptures that talk about the Spirit of God. We were created in the Spirit of God as the Spirit of God. And that's our image, the Spirit of God. There is a physical difference between man and other created things. Now listen to Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 59. He said, all flesh is not the same flesh. Okay? But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fish, and another of birds. So there are differences even physically, and we know that. We see that every day, don't we? The differences physically between man and the other animal life. Now, the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews, I'm sorry, let me back up. There is a difference in spirit as well. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 21, who knows the spirit of the sons of men? One goes upward and the spirit of the animal, and one goes down, the spirit of the animal, which goes down to the earth. So the destination of man is different than the destination of the animal. Because man being spirit will go back to God. Animal being flesh will go back to the earth. Hebrew writer, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? And again, that's the purpose of the mirror, to tell us God's wishes for our lives spiritually on this earth. The outcome of our faith, of course, is the saving of our soul. Our soul, which is the spiritual part that was created in the image of God. Now, this question. When it comes to the soul, can man destroy the soul? Well, not according to Jesus in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. He said, do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So we look to God because he is in complete control over us. Now we've looked at the origin of the soul. We know that it was given to us by God, and we know that it will be taken back by God. But now the mirror does something else for us. The mirror also reveals to us the value of the soul. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, Jesus asked this question. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, God has placed such a value on the soul of man that he has made it impossible for man to destroy it. Now, can man bring about physical death to another man? Yes, he can. We have seen it happen many, many times. It happens every day. It probably will always happen physically every day as long as time stands. But man cannot touch the soul of another man. Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7, "Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it." We belong to God spiritually. We're in God's image spiritually. We are His. And the mirror will reveal that to us. God's mirror will. God's mirror also will reveal the disfigurement of the soul. Now, when we think about disfigurement, we're thinking about something that has been changed in a negative way, things that are no longer proper, things that are improper for our being. Paul called this the works of the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 19, Paul mentions the works of the flesh which can disfigure our soul if we allow it. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, this is a long list. Some of them deal with us directly physically, and they all deal directly with us spiritually. These fleshly works will corrupt the mind. These fleshly works will disfigure the soul, and they will cause man to turn away from God. This is according to Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 3 and 4, and he's warning Timothy here, and he's warning us as well. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." The mirror is telling us that we can become disfigured spiritually by worldly things. And then the mirror reveals the destiny of the soul. Since God owns everyone's soul, and He does, He has determined that the soul will go to one of two places for an eternal destination. And those two places are either heaven or hell. Two passages declare this. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus said, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." Now, that's the same word that we see in God's mirror that we hold in our hand and read from day to day. And this judgment will take place, this judgment scene will happen, according to Revelation 20, verses 12 through 15, on judgment day. And God's mirror, the word that Jesus spoke of here in John 12, will be that judge to determine where our eternal destination is. Now, let's read that together. "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books." The mirror of God, okay? "Now, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in them. and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades was cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. Now, this next part we need to really pay attention to. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. When God's mirror is pulled out for the last time, it will be our judge. And according to what it sees, according to what it reveals, will determine whether or not your name is in that book of life. And we need to understand that. We know that God functions his mirror. So now we know the function of the mirror. So now we need to talk about how can we use God's mirror to avoid what we have just talked about here. Proper use of the mirror. First of all, we simply need to use it. What if you got up every morning and you never looked in the mirror? And you just took it at face value that you were okay and you walked out the door and what you were is what people saw. Does anybody here actually do that? No. We look in that mirror. Mirror, you do look in the mirror, don't you? We all look in that mirror, don't we? Yeah. Day and night, constantly. We need to look into God's mirror constantly, day and night. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, did y'all get that? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. God's law, where is it found? In the mirror, in God's word. David says we need to meditate upon it day and night. We need to delight in that law and use that law all the time. And we need to let that word and that mirror dwell within us. Paul said in Colossians 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. In other words, we fill our day with God's mirror. And we put it into our lives all the time. Not only do we use it constantly, we have to use it skillfully. You know, we can use anything incorrectly, can't we? Sure we can. We can do anything incorrectly and claim, well, I read the book. Yeah, you might have read the book, but you didn't read the book right. And I'm guilty of that sometimes, reading something incorrectly, seeing it the wrong way. We need to learn to handle this mirror of God in a correct way. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 16, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Now, the reason I use this particular version of this verse, King James says, study to show yourselves approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is the English Standard Version here, and it tells us to be diligent. You know what that means? When we're diligent in something, that means that we are forevermore doing it. We are putting our best foot forward, and we're doing it every time that we move, every time that we speak, in every part of our life. We are diligent to put God's word first. And we've got to have it both ways. We've got to know what God's word is first, so we have to study it. And now we have to put diligence into putting that into our lives. Be diligent to present yourself to God. Be diligent to look into that mirror and to abide by what it tells you. Peter joins in with this thought in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. He says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. In other words, we need to keep things within the context of the Scriptures. Now, how many times have we seen that fail? How many religions do we have in the world today, and why are they there? Because they have not kept in context the Word of God. They have changed the Word of God. And then, to use this mirror correctly, we have to use it in obedience. Now, our text said earlier that there is no profit in looking at ourselves in the mirror, walking away from it, and not making needed corrections. Just as there is no profit in hearing God's word and then refusing to do what God's word has told you. This person just simply sees himself and walks away and does absolutely nothing. You know, I just wonder in the mornings again when we look into that mirror for the first time, do we just see ourselves, walk away from it and say, well, they'll just take me like I am and go on? We wouldn't do that, would we? We would make any adjustment that needed to be made. And the same thing is true in using God's mirror for the soul. We make any adjustments that we see needs to be made for our soul. Fact is, we can change. We have the ability to look into God's mirror and see ourselves the way we really are and make changes to our lives if we need to make changes. We can do that because that's the way God's mirror is meant to be used. We see the changes and we make them as we need to. So I ask you, when you look into God's mirror, when you look into that wonderful book that you hold in your hand, what do you see? When you look at your character, and it's not going to lie, it's going to tell you exactly the type of character that you have as a child of God. Are you happy with what it is telling you? If you like the evil queen says, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all, is it going to tell you that you're fair? Is it going to tell you that you're righteous? Is it going to tell you that you are in the graces of God? Or is it going to tell you that there is something missing, that there is something wrong, that there is some change that you need to make in your life? Because it's going to tell you whatever you need to hear, whether you want to hear it or not. So we need to look into that mirror. What do you see when you look into God's mirror? Are you happy with what it is showing you? Or do you need to make changes so that it can show you in a better way? Tonight, if you're not a Christian, God's mirror will tell you how to become one. It will tell you that through faith you need to change your life, repent of your sins. It will tell you that you need to confess Christ as the Son of God. It will tell you that you need to be buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sins. It will tell you that you stand before this mirror as a sinner. And there are things that you can do to change that, and you need to change. You need to make these changes. And then you need to look back into that mirror every day of your life to see to it that you are moving in the right direction, because it will tell you if you're not. And it will tell you the changes that you need to make. So when you look in God's mirror, my friends, just what do you see? Tonight, if you need to become a Christian, or tonight, if you need to rededicate your life as a Christian, we want to give you an opportunity to do that right now while we stand and sing this song.